Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here in American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I am your host, Abraham Hamilton III, with my brethren, Big Up, Jay Tross, Jeff Reed. We are in the studio, and we're excited to bring today's program to you. Today is the day. Not today, tomorrow. Tomorrow night, Life Point Church in the Greensboro, North Carolina area, we will engage in the Truth for a New Generation Apologetics Conference. And I am excited to participate in that. I was interviewed concerning why I would want to participate in something like that. And you guys know, you listen to the program, that I believe very strongly, considering the deficits we have in our society, that the body of Christ must be, is not optional, must be equipped in the area of apologetics. And so the entire goal is to aid the body of Christ in knowing what we believe, knowing why we believe that, and skillfully being able to articulate that to a desperate and dying world. So a conference that is formed with that objective in mind, I am extremely excited to be a part of. Well, we're going to begin the program, as is our custom, in the word of God. And this is something that has been on my heart for quite some time. I haven't discussed this with you all publicly, but I have been discussing this privately. We're going to begin in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 31 is where we're going to begin. And I believe on the whole that the body of Christ would do well to spend more time in the book of Genesis, because it gives us an opportunity to see a snapshot of what God intended for mankind without the fall. You know, the fall comes in chapter 3. You get a wealth of education from the word of God in the first two chapters of Genesis. And I say this all the time, one of the cheap tactics of the Antichrist philosophers and professors of our day, I don't mean Antichrist in the sense that they are the Antichrist, but I say Antichrist in the sense that they are opposed to Christ. Just like if somebody I knew that was anti-Jeff, now you can't be anti-Jeff around me, by the way, in case you're wondering. But if somebody was anti-Jeff, it was just mean that they were opposed to Jeff. You know, gratefully, his wife is an anti-Jeff. No, but these Antichrist philosophers and bootleg theologians and professors, they try to get our young children into their college classes and other classes. I heard even the testimony about a young girl where their professor in middle school and high school is trying to rob them of the Christian faith. And one of the cheap tricks is to say, well, how can you even trust the Bible? Because you have even contradictory accounts of creation right there in the scripture. And that's where I get my very large octagon size stop sign, bright red, that I don't really physically have, but I have it in my mind, and say, hold it! Because the chapter 1 in the book of Genesis is an overview of the 6 days of creation. Chapter 2 is an up-close examination of the second day of creation. They are complementary accounts. They are not contradictory in any fashion. I can say that without fear of successful contradiction, because when Jesus was queried about marriage, he quoted from both Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 19. So if Jesus, the word in flesh, in fact, the only one of the conversation who was there at the beginning, shout out to Athanasius, the only one who was there in the beginning, quote from them both, knowing that they are complementary, not contradictory accounts. Well, here we go. Chapter 1, verse 26, verses 26 through 31. I'll read it first and we'll talk about it. Verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man as a, man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth. Everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. So much I can say, but I'll start off here. Verse 26, when it says, God said, let us make man in our image and likeness. Those are not redundant terms. Those are two separate terms. The Hebrew word for image is selim. The Hebrew word for likeness is demuth. One means patterned after the original. The other means of similar likeness. Okay? So it's not talking about we have identical features with the Lord. It's being patterned after the Lord. We have a triune Godhead. We are also a tripartite being. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Man is a living soul, but a man is a spirit that has a body and a soul. So body, soul, spirit, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, triune God, patterned after the original. But I don't want to spend too much time there. If you want to do a good word study, that is a good subject to tackle. Selim and Demuth, it being made in the image and likeness of our God. We drop down to verse 27. It says, so God made man in his own image. Being made in the image of God is where we get the phrase, the Imago Dei. Every human being is an image bearer. Not all human beings are members of God's family. Galatians 3:26 tells us that. But every human being is an image bearer and therefore has inherent, hear me well, inherent value as a reflection, as a bearer of the image of God. Verse 28, we have the very first command in Scripture from God. And this is so amazing. This flies in the face of those attorneys in their petition to sue the state of Mississippi concerning House Bill 1510, the 15-week abortion ban, because contrary to their objection about fruitfulness and multiplication, the very first command God ever gives mankind, before he tells them about dressing and keeping the garden, before he gives man the Ten Commandments, before any other command, the first commandment is what? Be fruitful and multiply. Kind of gives you an idea how important multiplication and reproduction is to God. Isn't that interesting? And the last thing I'll say in this particular discourse is that among all the unfolding of creation as reflected in Genesis chapter 1, prior to the creation of man, God concluded, that's good. That's good. That's good. But after man is created, God concludes, that is very good. The crown jewel of the created order is mankind. The pinnacle of God's creative ingenuity is mankind. But an observation I would like to make for you and to present for your consideration is that God makes this observation about mankind, and specifically our foreparents, being very good prior to them doing anything. Prior to Adam and Eve performing any tasks, God concludes it is very good that they are here. Now, why do I bring that point up? Because I've heard, and I'm sure many of you have heard, in much of the conversation in pro-life circles, people lamenting the children who were aborted. Many of you remember the audio we played with the beads hitting the side of a can representing all of the children who had been aborted. Many of you have heard, just like I have heard, oh, What could they have been? That could have been a doctor. That could have been a lawyer. Who knows? That might have been a president. And I just want to urge caution in reflecting on people in that fashion. Because if we're not careful, we may find ourselves adopting an antichrist, secular humanistic objectification and utilitarian evaluation of human beings to where we ascribe merit based on what they do, not who they are. See, we shouldn't conclude that we are concerned about the senseless murder of babies in their mother's womb and people based on who they could have become, based on who they could have been, based on what they could have produced in their lives. No. These babies have value. These people have value because they are bearers of the image of God. My friends, the Addisons have been hitting this on their program, Aaron the Addisons on Urban Family Talk, to where we have to be very careful, because I hear it even in pro-life circles. You never know what that aborted child could have been. And I just want to just invite us to pause and reflect for a moment and go back into the Word of God, because the Lord concluded they were very good before they performed anything. The goodness is not a product of what they can produce. Because in reality, when we say those types of things, when we do those types of things, we are conducting a utilitarian analysis. Like this pen. What would make this pen good? Based on how it functions. Not based on who it is. You see the distinction I'm making here? Not based on who it is. Bearers of the image of God have value because they are bearers of that image. Not based on what they can produce. If you fast forward into Luke chapter 1, right at about verse 26, you have the Bible mention a man, and this is, I have to give my wife credit for this, because this is something that she hits all the time in our home in conversing with me and with our children. You have a man by the name of Simeon. And Joseph and Mary brings the newborn baby Jesus into the temple. And they are going to fulfill the Jewish rites concerning a newborn baby, and they hand the baby to Simeon. And how does he respond? Simeon, and I'm going to translate this into the Abraham Hamilton III version. Simeon says, glory to God, because I have now, just as you have promised me, Lord, I hold in my hands the consolation of Israel. Now, what is he holding in his hands? A baby. Yet he recognizes the value of this child based on who he is, not what he's done. Because this little infant in the arms of Simeon has not yet turned water into wine, hasn't raised anybody from the dead, hasn't preached one sermon, hasn't cast out any demons, hasn't named any disciples. In fact, baby boy ain't even potty trained yet. Yet Simeon is worshiping because of who he is. Because of who he is. And so I want to encourage us today to recalibrate our reflection on what exactly it is we are declaring when we say we're pro-life. And that we recognize that in each and every person, regardless of their abilities, regardless of their talents, regardless of their gifts, regardless of what they perform, they have value. Because all too often, many people, and I think most people are well-intentioned, but just hadn't thought through it thoroughly enough to where we want to fight for the life of the unborn, and we want to protect innocent human life. But I'm telling you that when we see people as God sees them, our hearts will burst even broader for a pro-life position, to where we'll have more value for babies that may be sick, or for people that may have various disabilities, physical or mental, or for older people, or for all types of people. Our understanding and our ability to reflect God's heart concerning his creation will be expanded. Because the value is inherent. It is not utilitarian. It is the world that says that a person's worth is based on what they can do for me. Well, what can you do? Then I'll see whether or not you have value. No, my friend. Value is inherent because people bear the image of God.
protecting women and children in Mississippi. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. In Mississippi, a bill just passed the state Senate by 75% to ban abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. The reason for this specific age is that after that time period, abortionists use the dilation and evacuation procedure. This is barbaric and has been proven to be dangerous to the mother. This bill protects not only the child's life, but also the mother's health. This type of human genocide causes many health problems after it has been completed. Some of these problems include the increased need for a hysterectomy, psychological problems, laceration, and even hemorrhage. If this bill becomes law, it will place us one step closer to protecting the lives of our mothers and innocent children. Stay informed with how Liberty Counsel is helping to make the womb a safe place once again. Sign up for our free Liberty Alerts at lc.org.
Hi, I'm Jan Harper. If you're a pastor's wife like me, you probably know what it feels like to live in a fishbowl. You know, that feeling like everybody is watching your every move?
The annual AFA Pastor and Wife Fishbowl Retreat is 3 days and two nights of relaxation and building relationships. The retreat is hosted by Pastor Bert Harper of Exploring the Word and his wife, Jan. Special guest speakers will include AFR morning personality J.J. Jasper and his wife, Melanie. The AFA Fishbowl Retreat is set for October 9 through 11 at the Linden Valley Conference Center in Linden, Tennessee. Call 800-326-4543, extension 300, for registration and information. That's 800-326-4543, extension 300. Or visit repairingthefoundations.net. Registration is limited to the first 35 couples.
Get out of the fishbowl and into the AFA Pastor and Wife Fishbowl Retreat. We'll see you there.
You can make a difference in the life of a child. On the next Focus on the Family, you'll hear an inspiring story of a couple who walked through the pain and heartache of infertility and how God prompted them to adopt children with Down syndrome. It's a reminder to step out in faith as God calls us. That's next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
This is Steve Conover inviting you to listen to the Friends of Israel Today each week on this station. Here's our host and Bible teacher, Chris Katulka.
Hey everybody, the Friends of Israel Today is a unique radio show that teaches biblical truth for changing times. We do this through Q&A, timely interviews, dramatic readings from the life of Holocaust survivor Zvi Kalischer, and of course, Bible teaching.
To learn more, visit foiradio.org.
Join us for Friends of Israel Today, Sunday morning at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. And I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III. And what I would like to be able to do right now is to talk to you at length about the full parameters, all of the ins and outs of this $1.3 billion budget that the House of Representatives just passed. But you know what? I can't do that. You know why? Because I don't have the magical powers to read 2,200 pages in one day. I'm sorry. Am I turning up already? Excuse me. I didn't mean to do that. I was trying to have a speech for my inside voice. But, yeah. Yeah, I can't read 2,200 pages. Let me get the specific number of pages. I have it here in the few pages. You know, I have a couple hundred pages in front of me that I've read. But 2,000 plus pages? No, I don't have the ability to read that. So this, let me find it because I have it in here somewhere.
Yeah, there's no way you're going to go through 2,000 pages like that.
And you know who else isn't going to do that? The 435 plus representatives and senators in Congress are not going to do that. Yeah. And I would like to begin this segment of the program with a throwback quote. Throwback quote. I should have asked you, Jeff, to get the audio of this. I'd like to turn the clock back a little to 2015, where Speaker of the House of Representatives, Paul Ryan, had this wonderful wisdom to share with us. Quote, when we rush to pass a bill that a lot of us don't understand, we are not doing our job, end quote. Isn't that interesting? Well, it's this same Speaker Ryan that dropped this 2,232-page behemoth on the House of Representatives at 8 p.m. last night. And guess what? They voted on this stinker today. And it passed out of the House 256-167 out of the House of Representatives. I don't know if the Senate has voted on it yet, which I would remind you, in order to have a vote on this, 60 senators have to agree. Well, to say it differently, they have to have unanimous consent to hear the bill. Then one of the 100 senators can say, I would like to invoke a motion to filibuster. And then it would take 60 senators to overcome that filibuster invocation. And they wouldn't have to say this on the floor. They, you know, it could send a page, send an email, send a text. They could be in, you know, Boise, Idaho somewhere and invoke a filibuster, which is why Brian calls it the fake-a-buster, Brian Fisher, that is. But 2,232 pages on Wednesday. And they voted on it today. If you can't tell, I'm pretty upset about it. I'm a little upset. You know, I'm trying to be calm. You know, Ron, who works here with us, he helps us with this, things around the office. He says, hey, you're the calmest man in radio. Wink. So I'm trying not to blow a gasket, but I can't make any promises in that particular area. So I think I'll just let Congressman Jim Jordan give you his initial response to the passage of this wonderful legislation. Go ahead and play clip 7.
This may be the worst bill I have seen in my time in Congress, the worst bill our leadership's ever allowed to come to the floor.
Well, they're doing it because not because they want to do it, because they have to compromise with Democrats.
Lie.
Who have a totally different feeling about spending than you do.
Yeah, but Brian, the American people didn't elect Democrats to control the United States Congress. They elected Republicans. I don't think we told the voters when we were running for the job and they gave us the privilege to come here and serve that we were going to continue to fund Planned Parenthood. We were going to restrict Second Amendment liberties, let some bureaucrats take away your Second Amendment rights, not a court of law. I don't think they said we were going to fund this gateway earmark boondoggle project and not fund the border wall. I mean, the one thing we don't fund is the one issue we all campaigned on, a border security wall, and that is not in the legislation. So it can't get any worse than this bill. We should stop. We should go back to the drawing board. If we have to do a short-term funding bill, do that. But go back and do something consistent with what the voters elected us to do.
Now, I've told you guys many times, most of you listening to this program, you probably listen to because I say this, that I'm an equal opportunity truth teller. And if you need any more evidence that we are currently being governed by a unicameral, one-party swamp creature, you need to go no further than this bill. You see, because Congressman Jim Jordan nailed it on the head. The American people didn't give Republicans a majority in the House of Representatives and a majority ever so slim in the United States Senate and the presidency to pass a $1.3 trillion, that's with a T now, not a B, $1 trillion budget that, right off the top, funds Planned Parenthood. Ding. It also funds sanctuary cities. Ding, 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 ding. It also has Obamacare-type funding mechanisms in it. Mm-hmm. Grows the government by $1.3 trillion. Adds money to our despicable deficit. And last but certainly not least, it does not fund the president's border wall. And to be honest with you guys, I'm not surprised that the Republicans have done this. But the last question, because listen, if we go back in history, the Republicans have a legacy of folding to advocate for and advance Democrat agenda items. This is no exception to that. But the question that I have now comes down to you, Mr. President. Are you going to sign this? All indications so far are that the president is going to sign it. And then the question then becomes, if President Trump signs this, has he become part of the swamp creatures? Because this would be, I'm losing count, this would be the fourth or fifth time the president has funded the murdering of babies with our tax money. After everybody in the world knows Planned Parenthood is selling baby body parts and murdering children when there are 33,000 clinics that are already federally funded that do everything that Planned Parenthood says they do, but do not murder children. They're already funded, so you would not have to allocate another penny. Yet, we raid the taxpayers' coffers to use $500 million annually to fund a private business. And what is the chief function of the private businesses? The private business? Murdering children. Now, I would love to go through the bill with you line by line, but I can't. Because I can't read 2,000 pages in a night. So all I can do is go through some of the lowlights, because I can't call them highlights, with you. Certainly won't be highlights. And to this, and I know people are asking already, we are at American Family Association. We have generated a petition to just tell the president, man, veto this trash. Veto this trash. The only way this is going to stop is if the president vetoes this trash. And if you want the petition, you can go to AFA.net if you want to sign it, because we're telling Congress to vote no. And the last-ditch effort in the petition, and the last-ditch effort is to get the president to veto it. I mean, this is madness. This is madness. Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana, I don't even know if I can say this on the air, he calls it, quote, "This is a Great Dane-sized bleep," I'm bleeping myself, "down the leg of every taxpayer. Everyone who participates in this process ought to put a bag over their heads," end quote. That's the senator's words. Yeah, I bleep myself. You know, I could do that, not Jeff.
Yeah.
Multitasking, man. Multitasking. So go to AFA.net, sign this petition, because this is trash. And I'll be very, very frank with you. This is the line in the sand. I mean, it seems that the Republicans are just committed to losing. This boggles my mind. At the moment where you are seeing the momentum that you have going forward ebbing away with the losses of seats that should have been easy Republican wins, you go and do this. Oh, somebody hold my mule, Lord. Because this is insanity. It kind of gives you the impression, for my conspiratorial folks out there, that it's almost as if they want to lose. Because Republicans seem to have the highest amount of fundraising capacity and develop the most momentum when they're an opposition party. Isn't that interesting? Do we have to recall the Tea Party movement of 2010? Oh, no top-down government-funded health insurance. And now the Republicans say, well, you know we have to have government-funded health insurance top-down. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. So, shall we go through some of this? Of course. Because if I told you there was a party that seemed to be committed to incessant debt, ever-increasing spending, bursting budget caps, you would conclude what? That I'm talking about the Democrat Party. If the Republicans didn't want this kind of budget to be passed, there was nothing the Democrats can do about it in the House of Representatives. Nothing they can do about it. And if the Republicans weren't beholden to the faker buster, if they wanted to pass a conservative budget in the Senate, there would be nothing the Democrats could do to stop it. But the fact is, we have Republicrats shooting conservatism in the foot. So here we go. This bill, and this is a piece I got from Daniel Horowitz at, from Daniel Horowitz, he's writing here. He said, this bill codifies the $143 billion busting of the budget caps, which Congress adopted back in February for the remainder of this fiscal year. This is on top of the fact that government spending already increased $130 billion last year over the final year of President Obama's tenure. Who's the party of wasteful spending again? Mm-hmm. Although the Trump administration already agreed to this deal in February, the Office of Management and Budget put out a memo suggesting that Congress appropriate only $10 billion of the extra $63 billion in non-defense discretionary spending. Now, if you were listening to the program, you remember when I played audio of them saying that. Just because they appropriated the money doesn't mean they have to spend it all. And what did I say to that then? If you think that the government will have money appropriated for its spending that they'll all of a sudden be like, no, I'm on a budget. I don't want to spend the full $63 billion of non-discretionary spending money. We'll just spend 10 because I'm on a diet. Man, please. And that man, please, is brought to bear right now. You want even more? Because I have one big one that's for last. I didn't plan to spend all this time on it, but I'm going to. In addition to bursting the spending caps by the Republicans with the Republican budget, with the Republican majority in the House, it also funds sanctuary cities. Now, you tell me what kind of message you want to send to where you have a country already in the throes when you were elected to power based on the current president's commitment to shore up national security and clamp down on illegal immigration, where you have state after state after state declaring itself with sanctuary status, yet you're going to continue to fund them? Listen, I come from a state. I know what I'm talking about because I come from a state. Louisiana was one of the last states in the country to raise its legal age to consume alcohol to 21. The federal government wanted it raised to 21. Louisiana didn't want to do it. So you know what the federal government did? Okay, well, we'll withhold highway funding money from you. And guess what ultimately happened? Louisiana raised its drinking age. As my old high school basketball coach used to say, pain stimulates the brain. But what it turns out, it appears that these Republicans are too cowardly to stand on principle and convictions, will just cave to any agenda that's put before them. This is sickening. And what kind of message is this? Defy the federal government, defy federal immigration laws, and you'll be rewarded with continued funding. Ding. And this is sad. This is sad. In addition to a lack of to continue to fund sanctuary cities, it also doesn't fund interior immigration enforcement. Along with clamping down on sanctuary cities, interior enforcement is probably just as important, if not more important, than the border wall itself. President Trump requested more ICE agents and more detention facilities, but that call was absolutely ignored in this bill. Absolutely ignored. The bill also doesn't defund these stupid court decisions. I know I shouldn't say stupid, but this is stupid. There's some squishy regressives that would argue that this bill is a victory because it doesn't contain amnesty. But we already have amnesty declared right now and promulgated by a lawless judiciary. The courts have declared their own amnesty, and Congress does nothing about it. A couple things that Congress could have done. They could have passed a budget that doesn't fund DACA. How about that? No, they don't do that. They fund it. They could have passed a budget that doesn't fund the issuance of visas from countries on President Trump's immigration suspension order. Nope, but this budget doesn't do that. Continues to fund it. Now, the president has already said we need to shut down immigration from these countries. Congress, because it controls the purse strings, it begins in the House of Representatives, could have said we're not going to fund the issuance of visas to these countries. Perfectly within their authority to do, but they go ahead and fund it. Go ahead and fund it. Passing, and this is Daniel Horowitz said, and I agree with this 100%, passing this particular budget is tantamount to Congress agreeing with a judicially declared amnesty program. Congratulations. And if that ain't enough for you, this one really burns my bottom. It's an absolute bait and switch on the wall. Because since this bill increases spending for everybody, you get a car, you get a house, you get a, since it's increasing spending for everybody, you would have thought that would include spending on President Trump's border wall. Nah, but it doesn't. It doesn't. No, the bill includes only $641 million for 33 miles of new border fencing, but there's a catch. It prohibits that funding from being used for concrete barriers. As it stands currently, President Trump already had enough money to begin construction for that length of a fence, pursuant to the Secure Fence Act. But with this bill, he now can no longer use any of that money to use anything with concrete. So in actuality, this budget makes it even worse for the desire to build a wall. And you wonder why Chucky Duck Schumer is so happy to say, yeah, thank you, yeah, we passed the budget, we passed the bill. Because this is a Democrat priorities bill. This is sad, folks. I'm still going in when we come back on the other side of this break. I ain't done with this year.
Hi, this is Abraham Hamilton III, and it really blows me away to hear how God is using the Hamilton Corner and all the other programs on American Family Radio. He's doing an amazing work here. That's why I'm glad to have an opportunity to ask you to partner with us financially during our three-day share-a-thon starting Tuesday, April 17th.
My name is Amy. Blessings from Minnesota. When other people talk about eating their morning coffee, I just say I need my daily dose of the Holy Ghost, and that's AFR for me. You guys are amazing. I'm blessed daily. I love being informed, and I love to know how to pray.
God is using American Family Radio to inform, equip, and activate our listeners to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture. Please partner with us in this important effort during our three-day share-a-thon beginning Tuesday, April 17th.
Thank you for being there for me every day. God bless everybody.
Are you meaningfully worldly? This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. Authentic Christianity assumes a meaningful worldliness, said Pastor Art Azurdia in a recent sermon. What he means is that Christians should avoid the extremes of assimilation and isolation from the world, but rather engage enough to be used by God in his work of redemption. This is what Jesus prayed for his disciples in John 17. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. The pastor closed by saying, church is the huddle, but the game is played out there. So let's engage with non-believers to tell them the way of salvation. Hear more about meaningful worldliness at thechristianworldview.org. And then tune in this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Women shall no longer be called women at an all-women's college in Massachusetts. Professors at Mount Holyoke College have been told to refrain from using that word when referring to their lady students. They have also been told to stop using phrases like, we're all women here, or referring to the two genders, all part of a new guide that supports transgender and non-binary students. While the college will not enroll biologically born men who identify as men, they will enroll biologically born men who identify as women or Zs or theys. Mount Holyoke wants to make sure students do not suffer the indignity of being called a woman. So for the sake of creating a gender-neutral environment, the word woman is now discouraged at the all-women's college. And you might want to avoid using words like ladies, broads, chicks, and gals, too. To read more about this story, go to toddstarnes.com.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Me? I'm just here watching congressmen just shred our Constitution, you know, and the ebbs and flows of having, you know, the contest of ideas. But how can there be a contest of ideas if you have a Republican Congress advancing a Democrat agenda? Some, and by some I mean me, would call that unicameral governance. Now, I could have spent the entire program really talking about the atrocity it is for a nation to not only allow the snatching of a child from his mother's womb and to be systematically dismembered for convenience. I could spend the entire program on that. But not only to allow it, to fund it. To fund it. I think it's high time, and I've said this before, I think it's high time for these political establishmentarian people to no longer be able to depend on a reliable voting bloc. I mean that. Because this is sad. This is sad. I haven't even gotten to the complete shredding of the Second Amendment. And you say, well, wait, Abe, didn't you say this is a budget bill? Yeah, I did say that. Oh, I didn't talk yet about how they've included the Fix Nicks legislation into this bill while excluding the House provisions. Now, this is a budget that was passed in the House. I want you to let that sink in. The House of Representatives was already debating due process considerations to be added to Fix Nicks legislation to avoid, for example, our veterans from being unlawfully placed on a list that would restrict their ability to possess firearms and purchase firearms without due process. Yet they put it in to this budget bill without including the due process considerations that the House of Representatives were already debating. So what that tells you very clearly is not that they didn't know that Fix Nicks needed some more fixing before it nicked some people's rights. They knew it, yet chose to proceed with Fix Nicks absent the due process considerations that they were already supposedly debating. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what you call an intentional offense. Intentional. And the Republicans, no, they should have just simply had open debate over these measures. I mean, you know, one of the biggest conversations that is happening right now in the American public is the conversation over gun control versus the Second Amendment. Don't you think that would be a great time for our hallowed leaders to have an open debate where the citizens could weigh in on how we go forward? No, they don't do it under dark of night. They go in Tuesday night, hop out Wednesday, bam, 2,232 pages. Now, I'm not foolish enough to think that they didn't know what was going on before that, but what I'm saying is that they dropped this bomb on the American people. Because it seems like the Republicans are content to govern by the Gruber Doctrine. You remember the Gruber Doctrine? What's the Gruber Doctrine? Lack of transparency actually is an asset when discussing legislation. It seems that although Jonathan Gruber said it to pass Obamacare, it seems that the Republicans are all too willing to govern by that same doctrine. To govern by that exact same doctrine. And you know what I'm going to do? I am going to post the roll call vote for this measure in the House. And if the Senate passes it, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to post it on the Hamilton Corners Facebook page. I think, Jeff, you can find it for me. Find it for me so you can see every one of these suckers who voted for it. Every one of them. Because if you start reading the names, I know many of you are listening to me and say, oh, not my congressman. They didn't vote for this. Okay, wait till I post the list. And you go down and see. You go down and see. Guys, this is sickening. This is sickening. I'm calm. Don't worry, I'm calm. I'm going to go next to this. And this is just shameful. The whole Facebook controversy with, what's the company's name? Cambridge Analytica. I have some audio for you of Meghan McCain. And this is not because I like The View, because y'all know I don't like The View at all. I don't watch that trash. I'm just going to tell you straight up. That's trash, man. By and large. But they have lucid moments every now and again. I know, man, I'm just being. They just like, Abe, you're not on the block no more. Come on, man. Get in the studio. I'm sorry. No, I ain't sorry, man. It's trash. But Meghan McCain did a good job in fending off the hyenas that are on The View when discussing this Cambridge Analytica stuff. They have some audio for you. And I'm trying to wait to see if you can get that before I announce for calls. You good to go? Okay. Did you post it already?
Yes.
Okay. So let me say this. If you happen to be watching on Facebook Live, in the comments section, we have posted a link to the roll call vote for this omnibus bill so you can see for yourself who voted for it and who didn't. Okay?
And it's at the top of your page now.
And it's at the top of the Hamilton Corners Facebook page. So you can go there if you have Facebook. Share it with your friends because this information needs to get out. All right. We'll open the phone lines to take some calls. I don't know if anybody's as upset as I am. But I'm not feeling this budget debacle that's happening. The number to call if you want to be a part of the program is 888-589-8840. The number again is 888-589-8840. You're welcome to call the program. And as the callers are lining up, I was talking about Meghan McCain. She did a good job of kind of laying down the foolishness that is this public brouhaha concerning this Cambridge Analytica. If you would play clip number 5, please.
I don't completely understand this scandal now in the sense that this has been happening since 2012. The Obama campaign did this brilliantly. They used micro-targeting and data mining. Sasha Eisenberg actually has a book called The Victory Lab. It was an article that was turned into a book that showed how the Obama campaign utilized and targeted voters. And the exact quote is, a new political currency that predicted the behavior of individuals. The campaign didn't just know who you were, it knew exactly how it could turn you into the type of person it wanted you to be. So the double standard I don't understand right now is I'm against this as a whole. I agree. I think this is very dystopian. I don't like our information being used. I don't like the idea that we as Facebook users are the target and the product that they're using to manipulate us. But it happened with Obama and it was lauded by the media as being genius. And now the Trump campaign
was
did
it the same
or
thing?
Cambridge Analytical scandal. Well, yeah, it was micro-targeting and data mining.
I think it's different though because
it's not different though.
Well,
it's not different. It's not different. It's the exact same thing. Remember President Obama? Oh, he's such a genius. He's such an innovator. He's taking politics to a new place, using the wonders of social media and technology to turn it over into full-on voter participation. President Obama. President Trump does the exact same thing. Hired the exact same company. The exact company. And now, Facebook, they're abusing all your information. They're taking your information and abusing it. It's just sad, man. And we're at such a place in our country where people are just drinking it like eating it with a big ladle for a spoon. Just, all things Trump. It's just terrible. And Meghan McCain does a great job of saying, listen, where was the outrage when President Obama did the exact same thing? I mean, it was almost like, we're not worthy. He's such a political genius. He's so amazing. And now President Trump does the same thing. And now you have all of the backlash. And I'm going to let you guys know. I know some of you are wondering, man, Abe, you got to calm down before you go home. Listen, I'm not going to take any of this home with me. When I get off of this program, I'm going to go home and kiss my children and hug my wife and get ready for the apologetics conference. But I just have to communicate this to you guys because for too long, we had people in Washington pulling the wool over our eyes. And what we have to make sure we don't allow is for ourselves to become listful and disenfranchised to such a point to where we just say, there's nothing we can do about it. To the phone lines we go now. First to Arkansas, where Chris is on the line. Chris, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate everything you do, and I'm right there with you, brother. I'm just so disappointed in my Congressman Rick Crawford. From the first district of Arkansas.
Call him out, Chris. Call him out.
He ran on biblical values. Mm. He's a Christian man. Planned Parenthood was going to get defunded if he had anything to do with it.
Mm.
We're going to have, a budget that makes sense.
Mm.
You know, he was conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I don't know what happened. But
he got Potomac fever.
Yeah. Somebody got to him.
Somebody got to him. Chris, thank you for your call. Listen, that's what happens. That's what happens, and it's not going to stop until we do what Chris just did. I encourage you to go to my Facebook page, look on the roll call voting list, and see what your congressman did. And then once you find that information, I'd encourage you to call their offices because they need to know that this trash is not going to continue on our watch. And one of the things that I endeavor to do in this program is to arm you with the ammunition so that when you call, you're able to speak intelligibly about the issues. Thank you for your call, Chris. We'll go next to Tennessee, where John is on the line. John, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Yes, sir, brother. You done got me stirred up real good. I really like listening to you because you just got joy just running out of me, man. I love it. I want to know about is, and you said they're going to try to take the Second Amendment away in this bill.
There are encroachments on the Second Amendment in this bill. There was a particular piece of legislation called Fix NICS, the National Crime Information Database, is what they were attempting to address. It's related to background checks. But there were other provisions that the House of Representatives were debating because the Fix NICS bill, as it was presented, did not provide sufficient due process for those who could be added to that database and could have their Second Amendment rights encroached upon. So instead of having an open and honest debate about it, they just threw Fix Nixed in without the House of Representatives due process provisions. And now, and they just attached it to a budgetary bill because it was considered must pass legislation.
Yeah, I tell you one thing, brother. A lot of people don't realize how strong intercessory prayer is.
You're right about it, John.
Man, look here. Back in 1974, I thought government takeover was going to come then, but the Lord prolonged it.
Amen.
And I think He wants us to get in. If people don't get on their face and cry out to God, it's over.
Amen. John, you hit the... That is exactly what I was going to close the program with. And since you said it, I'm just going to follow up your alley with a oop. I believe one of the things that is happening in this time is that the Lord is showing us that we should never have in the past. And if we had in the past, we should never look to government to be our salvation. And John said it appropriately. There are many of us who really don't understand, nor do we believe in the power of prayer. But I am telling you, the time is now to get on your faces. Back to the phone lines. We go next to Wyoming, where Diane is on the line. Diane, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Abraham. I just want to say I feel so blessed to be able to listen to you every evening on my way home from work. And the Second Amendment says, shall not be infringed on. And I am just as mad as you are about this budget. Every one of those Republicans that campaigned in the last 8 years or 10 years has campaigned against everything that's in that bill.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. That is not an overstatement. That is not an overstatement. That is an accurate statement of fact. Now the question is, where do they stand? I think it's clear. Diane, thank you very much for your call. Thank you very much. We'll go back to the phone lines. We'll go next to North Carolina. That's where I'm going to be tomorrow night, where James is on the line. James, thank you for calling the Hamilton
Corner.
You
got that right. Look, I said to the guy, this serpent needs two wings to fly, a left wing and a right wing. But there's only one brain, one party.
Mm.
And that's all there is to that. And look, might as well tell you now. Look, all those gangs, all those crooks and everything, hey, your government brought them here. They incorporated them. They arm them. They train them. So you're being played. Been played for years.
Thank you for your call, James. Well, the issue now afoot is whether or not you're going to continue to be played. Because many of these same people, they're going to be coming to your churches in the not-too-distant future. They're going to be knocking on your doors. And when they start playing that song, it's not going to be an old song. It's going to be a familiar tune. With the same old play it again, Sam. But the question is, are we going to go for it? I'm telling you that the time has come. You wanted to say something, Jeff?
No.
The time has come for the people and the American people to stand up. Because we cannot continue in this fashion. I mean, you remember the cries of, we're the party of fiscal responsibility. Government accountability, and we are going to rein in runaway spending. Paul Ryan took the speakership by saying we are going to return the budgetary process to regular order, where we have open and honest debates where each agency comes and makes their case before the American people. And now this dude is sliding 2,000 plus pages in the night before. Shame! Do you remember how conservatives squealed when Obamacare came out in the dark of night? Well, a squealing should be equally as loud now, if not more, if not louder. Because one thing that happens when the Democrats scheme, at least they're doing what they've already told you they're going to do. But what's happening is that these Republicrats, they're saying one thing and doing the exact opposite. Enough is enough. I'm sick and tired of the Republicrats.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.